Blog Talk Radio.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all day, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Charles on the Spirit of Truth Revealed. I hope you're having a wonderful day today during this precious season, wherever you are. And blessing the East Coast. It looks like a lot of the snow is gone. And blessing wherever you are listening from. I appreciate it. First, let's set our minds to receive the Word of God, and then I'm going to pray. Always given remembrance within the Bible stating that we need to continue to fellowship with one another, reminding that what? Sin separates us from God. The action of sin, as we see throughout all of the Bible, actually separates us from God. So we need to continue to walk by the Spirit and not by the sinful nature. So what we need to do is continue to confess our sins, meaning to admit or acknowledge our wrongdoings to God the Father. So let us not forget. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let me give you a quick time of silent prayer to focus on yourselves and prepare yourselves to receive today's message. And then I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, give us thanks. Thank you for all things which are given through you. As we continue to study your word and for understanding, and we thank you for the grace and mercy that you have bestowed upon us. We continue to glorify you, Father, and praise you as well. And as we understand how we impact others, as we continue to study the word of God and as the anointing falls upon us, to be leaders and to know that the things of God, spreading the word of God. And we continue to pray for the sick. It is not by all means sickness and disease, it's by God. It's the healing, as you've stated in Exodus. It's the continuation of bringing people out of these tremendous times as relates to disease and sickness. God is a deliverer. And also pray for the safety of others. There's missionaries out there abroad that spread the word of God under tremendous, tremendous risk as relates to a lot of things that come up against God. And also let's pray for our leadership of this country as we continue to move forward here in the United States. Pray that the leadership for this country makes the best choices. The Bible also says, I believe in Proverbs, that when someone of not of the faith leads, of course, everyone mourns. But anyway, so, and also let's pray for the peace of Israel. Psalms 122:6 also states that, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they what shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within the walls and prosperity within thy palaces. As King David stated. And also pray for me and others listening. Pray for me as I continue to get this word out. A lot of good information to build the body of Christ, but for instruction and what God has shared me, you know, what God has shown and shared to me of what things to come and also his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you. So let's start with words of wisdom here. I wanted to first, actually, this is just a nugget for you. Actually, Jesus' birthday is Nisan 1. It's actually on March 21st this year. And how do we know that? There's a lot of, it's very simple. Again, I'm going to make this brief, but it's very simple as it relates to Christ. We all believe that it's on December 25th, but when you look into it, when Constantine actually, you know, agreed to take this faith of Christ within Rome, he also inherited a lot of paganistic ways. But anyway, it's really easy. I'm just going to go through a couple, but then there's other areas as it relates to the birth of Christ. you really have to look at the Jewish side of things. And it's here, too, as it relates to Christianity. It's really important to understand the Jewish side of things on where we get a lot of our roots as well. But anyway, in Luke 2, talks about giving birth in a manger, and the shepherds were out in the field. Well, actually, through the rabbis and through the teachings, and also actually in the Talmud, is that, again, that the shepherd's primary purpose were to look for the lambs. Lambs are only actually birthed at one part of the year, only one time of the year, and that's during the spring season, March through April. So the shepherds, of course, which flocked the lambs, right, they were actually looking for during this time period, through March and April. So since they were looking for lambs, of course, sheep give birth to lambs. And so they was waiting for these lambs at this particular time at night, right? So that makes sense. So lambs are born in the springtime through March and April, which is Nisan, which is the month of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar. So you're thinking, oh, okay, well, who is the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ himself. So what other time period? This is just the first thing, right? I mean, there's 12 items to prove that Christ was born actually on Nisan 1, which corresponds to this year's month's calendar to March 21st, next week, actually on Saturday, on Sabbath or Shabbat. Anyway, so the key is like, it's, if you think about it, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and the only time lambs are, sheep gives birth to lambs are March through April. Wouldn't it make sense for God to what? For Jesus Christ to be born, what? In March or April time frame, when the lambs are born. We have to remember that what? God has done all tremendous things to show believers, back then the Hebrews and the Israelites, to show them types and shadows of things to come. So what, I mean, from a simplistic standpoint, when would Christ be born? He would be born in the same time frame, through the March and the April time frame, when lambs are born. And that's why God absolutely made it such that lambs are only born at those times. Anyway, it's tremendous, right? Not only that, Jesus is the Lamb of God, of course, right? Shepherds that were watching for this. Not only that, that in the teaching of the Talmud is that Bethlehem is the place for the lambs to be used for temple sacrifices. So, of course, lambs are being born all over as it relates to, let's just stick to Israel. So within Israel, you have these lambs that are only born on March and April time frame. Not only that, the ones that are born in Bethlehem are the ones to be used to be slain for the temple. So it's very interesting that what? Jesus Christ, of course, was born in Bethlehem. So this is tremendous, right? And as you follow this, I'm not going to go through all 12, but as you follow this, I'll do a couple more. You can start to see the pattern in which God is going to prove, or not prove, but God is going to show you a type and shadow of where Christ was to be. Now, also, Exodus 12, God also tells the Israelites the lamb, make sure it's 1 year old, and also on Passover. So, actually, the lamb, in this example, Christ is born and actually dies on the same day, Passover. But anyway, within a year. But what I want to get to is that I really didn't want to go over all of this. But what I want to do was actually also share that. The first holiday is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is also the first Hebrew holiday given to Israel, in which on the 10th day of Nisan, the day of the lamb, you're supposed to take the lamb to the house until the time of sacrifice. So there was a period of time in which Christ came on towards Jerusalem on this same time period, on Palm Sunday and everything. So anyway, God taking the lamb to Jerusalem. So there's so we also have that too as number four. The fifth thing, Jesus dies, of course, on Passover, and he raises up in first fruits, and he also gives the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So Christ exactly satisfies the, you know, as it relates to the spring feast and then also the fall feast. They are not satisfied yet. But anyway, and there's other examples as it relates to the new moon, Jesus Christ dying on the actual full moon. If you look at the months, we have full moon in the middle of the month, right? So a full moon, I don't care what month it is, if we have a full moon, we know we're typically what? We're right there in the middle, you know, so to speak. But this is the same time Christ died. So how does that roll up into Christ actually died on Nisan 14, full moon? And you can actually see this in software. If you download any free software that you have online, actually I have I can't remember what software I have. But anyway, you can actually go on and you can actually see when Christ was born and actually when he died, maybe around, I don't want to throw these numbers out there because I have all my notes, but let's say 32 AD he died. And depending upon, you know, the actual time, you can actually see the, you know, the moon actually be an eclipse during the daytime. And then the earthquake, of course, you can't see that on the star software. But anyway, all this is correlated. I didn't really want to go over this. I'm actually going more into it than I wanted to. But anyway, I just wanted to show you the two examples. The first one was that, and there's other examples too as it relates to the Magi, and also to also in Luke and even the Dead Sea Scrolls that actually pinpoint the actual date. I really shouldn't have brought that up. But anyway, so just in general, what we have is that they were out there waiting for the lambs. So we know it's March and April time frame. And then on top of that, you can look in Exodus 12 exactly when this is supposed to be done, when you bring the lamb from your house, you know, to the time of sacrifice. And Jesus Christ did that exactly, as you can see in the scriptures. And there's other references on how we can home in on the Nisan 1. But anyway, Nisan 1 is Christ. Do a little bit of history. Actually, Jonathan Kahn has a very good YouTube on that. And it's about 30 minutes. It's really good. And he highlights some of the points that I went to. Actually, I have notes on him as well. Anyway, so just in general, so again, just a brief point. Jesus' birthday is Nisan 1, which is March 21st this year. It's next Saturday. Again, do a little bit of your homework, and you will find out the true day. Again, December 25th is typically back in the Roman times, there were sun gods and the summer solstice. I mean, the smaller as it relates to around that time period, December 25th, you know, is the smallest, you know, daylight time, and we're going into a different, you know, then it starts to increase. So it's a new time, it's a new beginning, it's life, right? They took this Jesus being the resurrection, being a new life, could be actually on December 25th. Again, that has to do with the sun, not the moon. But anyway, so there's a lot of sun gods and everything that they correlated that to. But anyway, and we know that's not, you know, anyway, so do your homework. Anyway, so that's just a nugget. But anyway, so what I wanted to talk about today is, it's very simple. I wanted to talk about briefly the Antichrist. Actually, there's a couple things revealing the Antichrist. What is it really? We hear a lot about it, the number 666. We see all these things. But I think that it gets confusing. It gets confusing in a sense. Well, why does it get confusing? It gets confusing because if you start to listen to people and you don't do your homework, that could be a problem. Because what happens is that you'll start, depending upon your growth in Christ, in the Word of God, you'll start to hear other messages, other people, for example, which I'm not saying is bad, but it could be, it's good in a sense because you get introduced to this in a sense. But once you get introduced to certain points or certain points as it relates to the Bible, you have to do your own homework. You have to study for yourself. And it's within this own study that God is able to control, is able to show you and resonate in your spirit of truth. And if you do that, God will also allow you to be able to share the word to others. So that's what's key. The key is to continue to study the word of God. And as you continue to study the word of God, God will show you within your spirit of truth, of things that are true and to be revealed. And once you become, of course, does Satan throw darts? Absolutely. But you can immediately pick up on Satan. As you continue to do the things of God, you know that the things of God are, you know that the peace, love, you know, if you know the functions of the Holy Spirit, then you understand, if you have a vision, then you understand if it's Satan or if it's God. I mean, it's very easy once you catch on to that. It's very hard sometimes because when you first start to, you know, say, for example, when you first start to have visions, when you first start to see these things, then you'll take it all 100% as God. But then you'll realize and learn later on, oh, my, you know, this is not God, right? But then you have to continue to study more and more to be able to what? To discern. That is a gift, right? That's one of the revelation gifts. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, but also the discernment of spirits. Discernment of what spirits? Discernment of man's spirit, discernment of what? Satan or demonic spirit, and discernment of the Holy Spirit, the Almighty himself. So you're able to pick up on those things as you continue to study the word of God. So that's why it's important. So what I wanted to talk to you about today is just briefly with the Antichrist, right? The 666, really, just in a simple sense, just in a simplistic sense, there are some people who explain it quite well, actually, and they're right on. I totally agree. As you continue to study the word of God, you can add more information to it of what God has shared to you. And as we look at it, what I want to share to you today is just the characteristics of the number 666. It's really simple. I'm not going to get into the point of where the Antichrist is at. I mean, John even mentions the Antichrist here today, and he was writing back in, you know, 60 through 80 AD or, you know, whenever it was. But Antichrist is very simple. It's not Christ, right? I mean, it's not a catch-all statement, or, you know, it's anti meaning what, against or not Christ, or however you want to take it, if it's in the Greek. Excuse me. So, in a sense, it's just these numbers point to a what? The Bible mentions it points to a man, right? And so you're thinking, okay, well, you know, this makes sense. And there's a lot of, you know, on the news, I mean, on the TV, you got to be very careful of that because it actually talks about you're taking the mark of the beast, you're taking a sign, you know. Let's not forget, the mark is his mark. It's not your mark, right? I mean, if you got a credit card number or whatever the case may be, you know, they're putting the RFIDs and all this other stuff. I mean, that's your mark, right? That's not his mark, right? But I didn't want to get into that because you have to also realize is that most of the stuff is during the tribulation. We have to remember, you know, God's time clock is Israel. Okay, right now we are in the what? We're in the church age. We're opening our arms and we're accepting, you know, people to join Christ, you know, or the church. Jesus is the head of the church. So we're in open arms right now. And I speak this way because I don't know to what levels people are listening to this. But anyway, I try to touch all levels. But anyway, so we are in the church age, and Christ is returning. Why? Because we know Christ said that. He says, I'm going to return. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to return for my people. So Christ is going to return, but then God, the Father, is going to focus back on Israel, right, these last 7 years to work out their salvation. So that's where you get to Daniel 70 weeks, right? But anyway, the main point is that as God focuses back on Israel, these last 7 years, the tribulation, which is going to be fairly bad, this is where all these things are happening in Revelation. You see the Antichrist in Revelation 13, verses 17 through 18, where I'm about to go over. These are during the tribulation. So we may or may not see these things. If we're not going to see them when I say it like this, I truly want to, you know, get reference to this, is that this is going to be a time of some serious, serious persecution. But what God wants to show you that is, God wants to show you a little bit of that before it comes upon scene, and that's what you're seeing today. If you turn on the TV, they're beheading Christians, right? The ISIS and everything. I spoke last week where ISIS is in the Bible. It's in Habakkuk. Anyway, there's like three pronunciations of that. Anyway, so the thing is that, ISIS is in Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5. I spoke about that last time. But the key is that they're being beheaded now. So why aren't we in the tribulation? Well, of course, because there's one thing that has to happen when we're in the tribulation. There has to be, in Daniel 9:27, there has to be Antichrist actually signs a covenant with Israel. And that's the start. That's the clock. That's the only thing that starts the tribulation. Nothing else. I mean, you can clearly see it in Daniel 9:27. But that's not the point. The point is that these things happen during Revelation. But are we going to see them now? Well, let's just look at it. What are we seeing now? We're seeing the beheading. We're seeing all of these things happening as it relates to prophecy, even Babylon, right? Babylon is Iraq, right? Which is, even Nebuchadnezzar, his place is still there, right there in Baghdad. So you're going to see them rise to power. It's in prophecy that they're going to rise to power and then finally be taken down, right? So we could see this, and we can see Damascus is going to be totally leveled. That hasn't happened. It's going to be inhabitable, right? That hasn't happened. There's people living in Damascus now. So these things are going to happen at the rise of the tribulation. But can we see this now? That's what I'm getting at. My main focus is you can turn on the TV and you can see these things happening now. Why? It's because God is showing you. God is a God of patterns. He's showing you this now to show you what's to come, right? Just like the Lamb of God. God told them in Exodus, he told them to put the blood on the post, the left, the right post, and in the center, signifying what? And then go get a lamb. Signifying what? The sacrificial Lamb of God, which is Jesus the Christ. Christ came as a Lamb of God. So it was fulfilled in what? When Christ came the first time. So God is a God of patterns. So what am I getting at? This Antichrist that we're going to see, is he alive today? He probably is. It's not going to be revealed yet until his time. The Bible says he's not going to be revealed until in his time. I truly believe that he's going to show his prophets. And I've actually had one vision, just one vision. I'll share it when the time comes. I've had one vision of the Antichrist. I can tell. If you do your studies, the Antichrist is defined. Of course, you can see in Daniel. What builds is Daniel 7, Daniel 9, and Daniel 11, of course. And he's from Assyria, yes. It's the second part. I didn't really mean to get into that. But anyway, you can clearly see, you know, a lot of people, I think, say he's from Rome. Even a false prophet. I really didn't want to get into that. But it's very simple. There's Daniel identifies Assyria. We have to remember there was two parts to Rome. So during that time, and this is very simple. With a half an hour, very basic study, you can understand these things. Right now, I'm just touching briefly on them. That's not my main focus now. But anyway, so as it relates to the Antichrist, he actually comes upon scene during this tribulation time. But can we see one now, a small one? Absolutely, yes. Right? It makes sense, right? As God showed you an example of, let's say, God forbid, but the continuing of killing of people of, you know, for Christ, you're going to see that as well in tribulation. Because why? It's because when Christ comes against the church, you know, the church is gone, right? Whoever remains is not of Christ, right? So if you want to get with Christ at that time, it's going to be very serious here on earth to be converted. Can you still be converted? Yes. There's two scriptures in the Bible that kind of alludes to that, but that's not my main focus now. But anyway, so the key is that, yeah, it's going to get bad, right? But then God, what, focuses on Israel, and then what? That's where you get the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, and then God also goes up against the countries that came up against Israel, which you see the sheep and the goats at the end of the tribulation. So it's very simple. Once you see this simplistic flow, this very simple flow of the church, you know, being gathering together with Christ, coming together with Christ, right? Bible does preach that. So it's very simple. So what I want to talk about is just the number 666. It's really simple. Typically, when we use numbers, we have to remember what God uses numbers for. He does use them and define them. Typically, one is unity, right? Typically, three has to relate to solid, real, substantial, complete, and entire. Especially as it relates to divine, it's divine perfection. Three is the first four perfect numbers, for example. Three denotes divine perfection. You know how we have the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three are one. So three is a divine meaning heavenly. Three is a heavenly union, right? A divine union. And, of course, seven denotes spiritual perfection. 10 denotes what? Ordinal perfection. And 12 denotes governmental perfection. I mean, I can go on with the numbers. There's quite a few how God uses them. But what is 6? 6 is the number of man. Okay. So how does that relate to what I'm going to talk about today? It's really easy. 6, I'm going to keep it simple. What I'm going to do as far as the 666, it's going to be the characteristics of this man. That's it. We have to realize 6 is man. Now, when I triple it, there's also something called gematria, but I don't want to go over that. There's other ways in which you can use those numbers to correlate a lot of things in the Bible and a lot of things, and it's tremendous, and it's all good stuff. But I don't mean to continue. I don't mean to talk about it here. But when you triple it, in a sense, 666, it gives more power to 6. Okay, I'll give you an example. 6 is the number of a man. So 6 has nothing to do, the human number, the number of man, as destitute of God, without God and without Christ, right? So 6 alone is just man. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with Christ, right? The number 6, it means man, the human number. Now, when I go 6-6, it puts a little more pronunciation on it, right? There's more pride towards that man. Now, when I go 666, right, it's putting a lot of emphasis on the number 6, right? So remember I said 3, right? 3, 1, 2, 3. 3, when you have 3, it's what? It's divine unity. So you have 666. You got 3 sixes there. So it's tremendous, right? It's powerful. Powerful in denoting the number 6. So when you go 666, this is tremendous pride, right? So 6 is a number of man, has nothing to do with God or Christ. But when you go 666, you're putting a heavy emphasis on that man, which that man is putting pride on himself. That makes sense. Hopefully that makes sense. Now, the thing is that 666, therefore, is the trinity of human perfection, the perfection of imperfection, right? Do you understand that? The culmination of human pride independence of God in opposition of to Christ. So that's all it is. Now, I'm going to give you examples on how we can look at this, but that's the basics. Now, everything else, as we see, as relates to Antichrist, who he comes, where he comes from, all this, stay in Daniel. I mean, Daniel and Revelation, of course, a little bit snippets. Well, Revelation is how he comes on the scene, but Daniel's trying to point him out. You only get maybe two or three scriptures of what his identity is. But what I'm getting at is you get more identity from the number 666, where I'm about to show you in the Bible. So, Charles, where are we getting at? Oh, this is easy. So 666 is pointing, is the six characteristics of a person, right, that we're actually going to see in the what? In the, he's going to be revealed during his time. So we're not going to know him now, but he's going to be revealed during the tribulation. But due to types and shadows, are we going to see a small one? You know, are we? Absolutely, yes. I'm not going to get into that today. That's not important. That's not important. What I do want to point out to you today is the number 666. So just a little bit of background, a little bit of history on 666. Actually, I'm just going to go over, for the sake of time, I'm just going to go over a couple people. And then, and there's many of these, actually. But I'm going to go over three men. Remember Goliath? Goliath was King David fought Goliath. Well, what's the characteristic of Goliath? Goliath was against God, right, in a sense. Goliath had nothing to do with Israel, in a sense, right? He fought for that Palestinian area. Anyway, Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits, and he had 6 pieces of armor, and his spearhead weighed over 600 shekels of iron. This is in 1 Samuel, verse 17, 4 through 7. So, what are you saying? Now, listen, I'll say this again. Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits, and he had 6 pieces of armor, right? And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. This is 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 6. I mean, 4 through 7. So what are we saying here? Can't you see this image of the 666? So it's pointing, it's the number 666 is the characteristics that are pointing to a particular person. I'm giving you other insight because, yes, we do have two or three other scriptures, and we can see how, you know, the Antichrist comes in and everything. That's not the point. There's a lot of studies on that, and I'd have to say, you know, probably half of them are right. But I only say that because of the insight God has to give you. You know, people who anyway. So let's see it in general terms. So we have Goliath, right? So we have Goliath, 6 cubits. 6 pieces of armor and weighs 600 shekels of iron. That's simple. Now let's go to Nebuchadnezzar. We know Nebuchadnezzar was what? He was once against God, of course, and, for a while, right? And then God turned him into an ox, but then he turned back. He repented. But that's not the point. The point is Nebuchadnezzar, whose image, right, which he set up, was 60 cubits high, 6 cubits broad. We can see this in Daniel 3:1, and which was worshipped with the music was heard from 6 specified instruments. You get that? So again, what are we looking at? His image was set up with 60 cubits high and 60 cubits broad. This is Daniel 3:1. And which was worshipped when the music was heard from 6 specified instruments. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing a pattern of characteristics that has to do with the number 6 of a particular person. And I can go on through this, but I'm going to stop for the sake of time. But I hope you start to see the picture. And the Antichrist, whose number is what? 666. So this is very interesting. Well, just a quick note, armors of God in Ephesians 6, 14 to 18, the Christian's armor has 7th piece, which is prayer. So this is good. We have 6 armors of God, 7. 7 denotes the thing that's of God, right? 8 is new beginning. Anyway, so this is tremendous. And we can play with it. I don't want to say play, but we can also use these numbers to reveal other things that I was talking about, geometria, that really signify things in God and in the Bible. It's tremendous. It's really, really large. But anyway, so the talents of gold brought to Solomon in a year were 666. If you look in 1 Kings, 1 10, verse 14. But this perfection of money power was only vanity and vexation of spirit, as you can see in Ecclesiastes 2, chapter 2, verse 8 and 11, and you can compare it to 1 Timothy 6:10. But here again, what we have the triple number 666, right? We have the triple number 666. We already that we've been seeing, right? So one figure is typically six, which is significant. Then the two figures are 66, or still more so. And then the three figures are 666, to seem to note the concentration of essence of that particular number, right? As I've stated. So to give you other examples, just to note that I have here, we see further examples. Now I want to get into 888. This is tremendous. Well, before we get to that, we can see Sodom. Nine is judgment. Sodom is 999, the number of judgment, if we convert that, of course, to the Hebrew. Damascus is 444, which is the world number. The beast, of course, we've talked about 666, the number of man. I can even correlate to when you convert it to Hebrew and add up in Hebrew, when you convert it, there's the numbers signify, I mean, the letters in Hebrew signify a number. But when I'll get into 888 now. When you convert 888, who is 888? That's the number, that's the name of who? Jesus Christ. The number 888, actually, when we convert Jesus to Yeshua, when you convert that to the Hebrew, and every name, every letter that makes up, every letter in Hebrew corresponds to a number. When you add that up, it becomes 888. It's tremendous. This is really good. So you can even see in Scripture, there's many Scriptures to prove this. Even the words that Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you convert that to Hebrew, it adds up to 888. Even the Lord God made, 888. The children of, I mean, this tremendous, this is in the Hebrew. You have to go into the Hebrew text, which is fine. But anyway, Jesus himself is what? What is 888? Let's go back. 888 in general is what? The spiritual significance of 8 is what? New beginning, basically. There's other things that 888 is. But is primarily what? Is primarily new beginning. And so what do we see there? We see there very simple that when you focus on new beginning, 888, new beginning, again, three times, which divinely means unity of one, 888 we see is Jesus Christ. When we take his name, convert it to Hebrew, and even the words that he stated, there are statements that Jesus Christ actually stated as an example. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you take that, convert it to Hebrew, and add up the numbers, you get 888 as well. So this is tremendous, and there's a lot of patterns of that, by the way. I have tremendous I have a lot of information as it relates to that. And actually, you could see this in E.W. Bollinger. It's really good. He's did a lot of studies as it relates. He was instrumental in getting the Bible together and focusing on that during those times. But anyway, I like to give credit when credit is due. So anyway, there's a lot of this, E.W. Bollinger. And you can see this as well. So that's what I wanted to highlight today, specifically. I'm going to take a brief break here real quick, and I will be right back to close. Thank you.
Adore you, hope of a life.
Okay, I'm back. Actually, cutting it short on the break there. So anyway, so I just also wanted to, so that was one of my highlights today, is to share with you the things as it relates to 666. Yes, you can look at studies to see, as you can, I encourage you to continue to, you know, to study the Word of God, because that's where the answer lies. It's not just listening to people. Actually, like me, right? I mean, you still have to do your own homework. Even the things that I've stated and I gave you scripture, check it out. Bible says check it out. So it's very important. Again, we have to realize and understand that the number 666 does point to a particular person, but there's attributes. Say, for example, someone comes in and they're 6 feet tall and they have six castles. I don't know. And, you know, and the sixth of the month, they, you know, you got to bow to them. I have no clue. I'm just making that up. So the thing is that would point to the a type of Antichrist, right, in general. But it's instrumental. You can also use that in relation to what? You can also use that in relation to what God's Word states about it. There's a couple of instances I'll share with you that, as far as the vision, I'll share it once. I want to show more information so it's clear. I like to try and give clear information because there's different levels of people's understanding, you know, of everything. But if I start at a basic level, then everyone's on board. But anyway, so the Antichrist talks about, it makes a strange statement about a woman. He's not fond of women or something like that. So you're thinking, hey, you know, maybe he's gay or something, or, you know, he has an alternate, you know, style. I mean, you can, if you look into that too easy, you'll probably miss it. But I actually had a vision of, you know, just in general, the Antichrist. It was a false person because of what happened, is the mustache, you know, turned down. So I know it was a false person, right? I couldn't see the face. I saw the shape of the face. But anyway, but then also there was another image as related to the woman part that he was. I actually at the first time I didn't really realize what it was until I started studying. But I've had that vision a while ago. That could have been maybe 3-4 years ago. That's not the point. The thing is that God, when I first started having a lot of my visions around 2005. That I have in a book, they're slowly being revealed. I continue to have visions now, but God shows you when the Bible says he shows you the past first. And, you know, so he showed me a lot of things up front, and I had no, you know, no clue. But as you continue to study the Word of God, you can start to see what's going on. So sometimes it does take time. Sometimes are instant. Sometimes things are for now and today, and sometimes there are things in the future. If you look at some of the prophets as they preach, even Isaiah when he's writing, sometimes he's saying, in that day of the Lord, right? So what happens is he would get a vision from God that's in the future, and then he comes back, and then he continues on. And so that's the same thing. You start to see the same pattern. That's what happened in a lot of my up front and a lot of my visions. That God will show me things that have happened way, way, way in the past. And I'm thinking, what is this? But, of course, Christ wants to share that with you. He will reveal it in his time. And, of course, as God wrote to Habakkuk, you know, write your visions down so that if someone reads it, they'll run. But the thing is that God told him is that it may tarry. In other words, it may be a while, but it won't come false. It'll come true. So all these things that I've seen and had, of course, will come true. But the thing is that it's the spreading of the gospel, it's the spreading of these words, and the spreading of these things. I can go more and more into it, but that wasn't the focus. The focus this week was basically to go over what that 666 means. It's at a different level. It gives you more insight on the Antichrist, that's all. And we could do the same thing with the false prophet. False prophet is the same thing. It's typically, all this is going to come in, is he, you know, from the Roman Empire, and you can clearly see this is, you know, it's pretty straightforward. It's, you know, that is the case. But the thing is that that typically is going to be revealed in its time, which is typically going to be the tribulation. Again, 7 years tribulation is for God to work out Israel with their salvation, you know, missing the Messiah the first time, but they're gonna catch it the second time. So we need to understand that. And when we see this Antichrist, you got to remember, what's God's chosen, you know, God's firstborn? We have to remember is Israel. All these other areas that became large, they're nothing but, I don't want to say it, but Satan's that came up against Israel throughout the history of man, we can call them Satan's seven super kingdoms, but we know that's Egypt, right? They appeared as it relates to Egypt and Pharaoh, Assyria. We know Syria came down on whatchamacallit through years too. We got Babylon, which is which is the Iraq, which is Baghdad area, right? And then we got Persia, which is the northern part, you know, Turkey and everything. Anyway, we got Greece, right, Rome, and then we got Rome itself, and then we have a second part of Rome, which is the other side of Rome. Anyway, so those are basically typically covered, the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The last five are covered in Daniel 4 and Daniel's 4 and 1 primarily. And it's really simple, and a lot of people have done a good job as far as correlating those. But anyway, so Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and Rome, the second part of Rome, is primarily the areas that dominated as related to Israel. So it's very easy that this Antichrist comes out of Syria. You can clearly see that, and Daniel also mentions it. Anyway, so again, you'll see a small one in our day and age, a small one meaning he's just going to show you what's to come of that. And we can speculate on that. That's not the purpose. I just wanted to show you here that the 666 points to particular attributes of the Antichrist. Anyway, so the takeaway, what I want to do here is set our heart now towards receiving Christ. Always try to allow people who have not and do not know Christ to give them a time. Because we have to realize is that in Luke 17:26, it says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be the days of the Son of Man." So everybody's going to be doing what they're doing now, you know, having a good old time, drinking, smoking, whatever the case may be, when the Son of Man appears. And God, you're thinking, well, what's taking him so long? Well, we have to remember that God is long-suffering. First Peter chapter 3:20 was sometime we're disobedient when once long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was being prepared, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. So it took him a long time, right? Noah took a long time to build the ark, but there was a time he got on board and it started to rain, and a lot of people perished. But you have to understand, well, why is he waiting? Why is he? 2 Peter, chapter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. In other words, some count the slackness of his coming being long suffering, but is long suffering toward us, right? Not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. So what does this scripture mean? God is going to do what he says, right? Absolutely. But God is long-suffering or waiting a long time. It's because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all, what? To come to repentance. And this is the love of God. And we know that not everyone's going to repent. We can see that. But you have to remember that in Genesis 6:3, that what the spirit can always strive with man because man is what? Flesh. And God is a spirit. God is not flesh. So the spirit can't strive with man for a long time. God wants to live with those to eternity for those who believe in Christ, for those who believe in his Son. And taking this to a different realm as far as eternal salvation. That's what God wants. The Spirit can only, the Spirit can only strive with man for some period of time because God is not flesh. But then we have to be spirit beings, and then what? Totally commune with God and Christ for eternity. So that's what he's moving towards. So that's what I want to do today, is that giving yourself to Christ, making sure that you could be that person, you know, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as it relates to the spiritual identity of accepting Christ and having your spirit be immortal, dies no more, right? We have to continually renew our mind, our soul, but our flesh is what? It's still going to be flesh until that's what? Until that's, we get upon a new body, a new flesh body when Christ returns. So it's really easy. If you haven't given or accepted your life to Christ, it's easy. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, it states, verse 9 states that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So it's very important to understand these things of God and to accept him as your Lord Jesus Christ and continue to move forward and learn things from him. So if you can, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins and rose victorious over death. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I turn from my sin today only to follow Jesus Christ all the days of my life. Lord, I give you all of my pain, all of my hurts, all of my fears, and all of my infirmities. Today I receive total and complete healing in my life because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. From this day forward, I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. So that's tremendous. If you have stated these words and you know that Jesus Christ died for you and he rose and resurrected the third day in your heart, and you confess this with your mouth and you received it in your heart, the things that you say, that you shall be saved. So continue to study the Word of God. Go to a local church. God will communicate to you as the things of churches. And just continue to go, and you'll see which one fits you. But it's very integral to continue to study and do the things of God. God loves you, and he wants to be a part of your life. And to not only know, but to share this good news as it relates to Jesus Christ with everyone else. So remember to pray every day, ask for forgiveness for your sins, and leave your former ways behind. May God bless you and your family, and I'll see you next time.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am.